This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The East Branch of the Somerville Public Library is a nondescript building located on Broadway near Sullivan Square. But in Massachusetts, history hides in even the least assuming places. Because on this day, back in 1834, on that same piece of land, which was then technically Charlestown, a mob perpetrated the worst act of anti-Catholic violence in United States history. Nancy Lusignan Schultz tells the story in her book, Fire and Roses, The Burning of the Charlestown Convent, 1834. She's also professor of English at Salem State University and joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston, Professor Schultz.
Thank you, Meghna.
So tell us, what exactly happened on August 1834?
Well, 176 years ago today, a mob of working-class men gathered at the gates of a Roman Catholic convent in Charlestown, Massachusetts. They were demanding to see a nun who they believed had escaped a couple weeks before. They wanted to see her at the gates and make sure that she was alive. These men believed that women were being held prisoner in the convent dungeons, and there had been several investigations leading up to the gathering of the mob at the gate. And tonight they wanted to make sure, they wanted to see with their own eyes that she was alive and well.
Okay, so they wanted proof, but instead what they got was Sister Mary Ann Moffat. Tell us a little bit about her and how she confronted the mob.
Yes, the Mother Superior was an unusual woman for her day. She was almost what we would consider to be a CEO today. She was the head of this profitable school and quite outspoken, and she had a lot of disdain for the working class men of the neighborhood. Her students were the daughters of upper class Protestants, and she was running a very elite boarding school. And so when these ruffians gathered before her door, she told them to come back the next day. She would be happy to invite them in at a decent hour, but that if they didn't leave her property tonight, the bishop had at his command an army of 20,000 Irishmen who would burn the roofs of their houses over their heads.
Wow. So that's what she told the mob. But then it turns out that when it came to the burning, it was the mob that did that exact thing to the convent. So what happened?
Well, some gunshots were fired. The men became angrier. They had all been drinking whiskey, and they were actually dressed up as Indians in Indian costume. And they took some huge pieces of wood and began breaking down the front doors of the convent and actually broke into the monastery.
And so they broke in, and but yet the whole thing ended up burning down, and there was more than just the fire. I mean, describe to us how exactly the fire ended up consuming the entire convent, and also there was acts of desecration that went on.
That's exactly right. They broke into the main area of the convent, and they piled things in the middle of the room to burn. They also went upstairs. They threw pianos out the window. They threw musical instruments throughout the windows. And they set curtains on fire. They took their torches and set the entire building on fire. They went systematically afterwards and burned various buildings on the compound and broke into the convent's mausoleum, where the bodies of six or seven nuns had been buried. They opened the coffins, took the bodies out, and some of the rioters even pocketed some of the teeth from the corpses.
Oh. So even though, if I understand correctly, no one died in direct connection to the burning of the convent, the fire and the acts of desecration is what makes it one of the worst act of anti-Catholic violence in the United States history.
Yes.
And one of the people involved in the mob was a man, I believe his name is John Bazell.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to trial in December of 1834. Oh, yeah, he was the self-confessed ringleader. That's right. He was never convicted. In fact, he was acquitted.
That's correct. The trial went on for 10 days. His was the first to go forward. And when he was acquitted, there were horsemen waiting outside the courthouse, three horsemen waiting to go in different directions to West Cambridge, to Boston, to Charlestown, shouting the good news, acquitted, acquitted.
So here's what I find so fascinating about this, is that this, you know, as anything in history, it didn't just bubble up out of nowhere, that in fact the environment in Charlestown was already fairly explosive, because I read that between 1800 and 1820, the number of Catholics in Boston went from 2,000 to 20,000, so a tenfold increase in the number of Catholics in just 20 years. But it wasn't so much that they were Catholic that was the problem, it was where they were from. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
That's right. There was starting to be an increase of Irish Catholics who were coming to Boston in large numbers. And in the earlier periods, Bostonians had gotten along very well with the aristocratic French Catholics, many whom had escaped the French Revolution. They were educated. They were sophisticated. And when the Irish started to come, it stoked a lot of anti-Catholic feeling.
And why is that in particular? What was, you know, for those of us who don't remember, what was different about the Irish Catholics in particular that old Yankees objected to?
Well, the Irish were poor. Many were uneducated. Many were working in lowly positions as servants in Boston, building some of the railroads. So there was a definite class distinction between the aristocratic early French Catholics and the Irish Catholics.
And I read in your book that you remind us that the second bishop of Boston, you were mentioning the French Catholics earlier, Benedict Fenwick, I believe. I'm getting my bishops confused. I'm sorry. This is Bishop Chevreuse. He was the first bishop of Boston.
That's right.
He was so well received in Boston by the Brahmins of the time that he actually donated his library to the Boston Athenaeum. And then you have this whole different group of Catholics in terms of the Irish coming in. Now, this was a time where we have class and national origin and religion all mixed up together. Pushing this forward into the times that we live in now, do you see sort of a similar mix of influences popping up again in Boston history?
Well, during various periods of Boston history, the newcomers have typically been targets. You know, as new influxes of immigrants came in, traditionally they've had a struggle for acceptance. And so that was certainly the case with the Charlestown Irish.
And I read that you've spoken with many of Boston's Irish today, and to them, it hasn't been 100-plus years since the convent was burned down, that it's a very fresh memory.
That's right. I think for some Irish families in South Boston, the painfulness of this event is still present. And I think the stories of the convent burning are still actively told. And then as people find out that this actually happened in 1834, they're somewhat surprised to find that it happened that long ago.
Well, Nancy Lusignan Schultz, author of Fire and Roses, The Burning of the Charlestown Convent, and professor of English at Salem State University, thank you so much for sharing the story with us.
Thank you.
I have to say also that to see images from Professor Schultz's book, including the ruins of the convent, there's great pictures there at our website, wbur.org/Boston. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Do join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.